Welcome to the Rowan Info Bites podcast series. In today's episode, I am discussing the benefits of automation with Elizabeth Manning, the International Sales and Business Development Manager at our biopharm Rowan. Welcome to another edition of the Rowan Info Bites podcast. This week, I am joined by Elizabeth Manning. Liz, do you want to give a short introduction of yourself?
I will do, Claire. Hi. I'm Elizabeth Manning, as you said. I'm the International Sales and Business Development Manager for our biopharm Rowan. I manage a range of products that our biopharm Rowan manufacture, including responsible for automation.
Yep. And that's obviously what we're here to talk about today, is sort of the automation side. But before we get to that, we'd just like to start with a short icebreaker. And obviously, being a food diagnostics company, it's always good to sort of share a story relating to food.
Well, that's interesting, because having globally travelled, I've had many experiences of different foods in different countries. But one in particular that comes to mind is one, in fact, you were travelling with me at the time. We were together in Southeast Asia, if you recall. And we were very aware that one of the delicacies of that country was dog.
Yes.
And you and I, both having four-legged friends at home, were very reluctant or didn't want to eat Fido.
Yep.
So we made a conscious decision that any meat served to us, if it didn't have a wing, we knew it wasn't chicken, and therefore we wouldn't eat it.
Yep.
And that's what we did to avoid eating what we would call our family pet.
Yes.
But also in the same country, if you recall, we were offered another delicacy, which was a bowl of snails, which were the size of a cricket ball.
Yeah, and they weren't your average snails, really.
They were not. And they were very slimy looking and very glistening. And we also made a conscious decision, we're going to say no to that delicacy.
Yeah, we did indeed.
So dog and snails were off the menu for us.
Yeah. So yeah, obviously returning to the subject that we're here to talk about today. So obviously automation is a big subject. Immune affinity columns are quite well established for mycotoxin analysis. But I think depending on the number of samples that a lab is testing, it's not always convenient to use these manually. It's very, can be very time consuming, very hands-on at the bench. And I would say, I don't know, maybe over the last 5 years, there's been a lot of increase in labs looking to automate that actual part of the process. What do you think's been the motivation sort of behind that change?
So that's a good question, Claire. And that's why it's really important when you meet different laboratories is to really understand what their need is in order to be able to offer them the right solution for whatever the issue they are facing that would make them want to automate. And so an example is meeting many operational managers in laboratories. They are often faced with having to increase throughput of the work they're doing, the number of samples they're managing, without increasing headcount.
Yeah, I think that's quite common at the moment, increasing legislation and, you know, I think
absolutely.
It's a big thing that people are facing.
Absolutely. And so for them, automation is a great solution. They can use the same amount of staff, even reduce the staff actually managing the manual part, and use those people for other tasks within the lab, because all labs are facing shortages, availability of staff, the pressure is there. And so managing throughput is important. Also, from a quality perspective, anything you do in a laboratory that is very manual can cause more manual handling errors.
Yep.
And with the automation, it actually everything is the same, whether it's volumes, flow rates, whatever it happens to be, the result, the quality of the result is more repeatable, reproducible.
Yeah.
And so quality is improved with automation, and definitely the time aspect. And the time could be either the time somebody's spending at the bench, that time could be used better elsewhere, as I said earlier, or it's the time to get the analytical result.
Yeah.
And with the automation, with our automation, we are able to see results sooner. And that's really why we developed at our biopharm the Cronect Symbiosis Reader Crest, which is the automation that we have for mycotoxin analysis.
Yeah. So can you tell me a bit more about this system?
I can indeed. I mean, the Reader Crest, which shortened to Reader Crest, is really a standard HPLC, UHPLC unit that all labs are familiar with using. But in this case, the Read-A-Crest has five modules instead of three. So we have the standard binary pumps, an autosampler and a column oven. Mm-hmm. But in addition, we have two additional modules. One's called a high-pressure dispenser, which is basically a needle that delivers the sample into the automated cartridge exchanger, which is the ACE. Yep. And they're the two modules that house the disposable that we use as part of our automation.
And it's a PAL autosampler that's used in the system, isn't it?
It is, and it's a very special autosampler because it's a liquid handling system. Yeah. It's used widely throughout the world. I think 50 to 60,000 of these are sold worldwide. And it enables us to do both direct injection and work with the system going through our disposable, which is an online cartridge called the ImmunoPrep Online.
And when you say direct injection there, what you mean is it can sort of bypass the HPD and ACE and just do injection of something else.
Absolutely.
You could have cleaned up with something else and have it on the autosampler and sort of do that.
Because many customers will actually do a percentage of their samples through ImmunoAffinity cleanup, and a percentage of their samples will go directly onto a detector of choice, whether that's a mass spec or fluorescence. Yeah. And so this system combines both. Yeah. So customers have more flexibility.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's important.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you obviously mentioned the ImmunoAffinity cartridges, which the system works with. Can you tell me how they differ from a traditional ImmunoAffinity column?
I can indeed. I mean, the IPO has all the benefits of an ImmunoAffinity column. Yep. So we have great sensitivity, so the quality of results are equal, if not better, than an ImmunoAffinity column. But they are for online analysis. So we actually put a different type of sorbent. It's a polymer bound it's a monoclonal antibody bound to a rigid polymer. Yep. And that sits inside a small cartridge that's only 1 centimetre high. And we do that because we need it to withstand the high pressures that come from using HPLC, UHPLC system.
Yeah.
So that's the main difference between.
And obviously one of the other differences is these cartridges are actually designed to be reused, aren't they?
Well, that's one of the benefits. Yep. So one small 1 centimetre high cartridge can be used up to 15 injections. Yep. And the beauty of that is that for every tray of cartridges, which is probably 15 times 10 centimetre in size, is equivalent to about 1,440 columns.
Yep.
So for transportation and for storage, it's a lot more eco-friendly to be using a cartridge.
I think, being a carbon neutral accredited company, it's quite good to be able to say we've got an alternative that can take into account, reduced shipping costs, transportation costs and so on.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what the cartridge also offers.
Yeah, I think just to sort of put it into perspective, it's almost like an ELISA tray, isn't it, with the little cartridges
Very similar.
It's very small and, as I say, that's comparable to,
A lot of columns.
It does make a big difference in terms of that.
It does.
So what cartridges do we currently have available?
We have quite a range of mycotoxins available. So our biggest seller is our aflatoxin, coupled by ochratoxin, Afla M1. Yep. We have Don and Zon. Mm-hmm. We will have vitamin B12 available early 2024.
Yep.
And then because it is a platform technology, we're hoping that we will have more vitamins added to our platform.
And so how many samples do you think a lab needs to be testing to make this or to consider it to be a viable option?
Well, that's very interesting because that also does vary.
Yeah.
Depending what the needs are of that particular laboratory.
Yeah.
We would say, to give an estimate, we would say around 2,000 samples a year would be the minimum you would have to be doing. And that would be up to 10,000 or more samples would be ideal.
Yeah.
But it really does depend on what the customer needs.
Yeah, obviously. So if a lab is testing sort of relatively small numbers, say maybe 500 to 1,000 samples a year, so Read-A-Crest might not be the best option.
Yeah.
what are the other alternative options that they might consider if they're looking to automate?
Well, we recognise that the reader crest doesn't suit every lab that we want to deal with. Yep. And labs that are smaller don't always have the CapEx budget in order to be able to afford a system like the reader crest. So we work very closely with a very well-established company called Gilson, who have been around for a very long time in the marketplace, providing a liquid handler type system using immunoaffinity columns. And for our customer, what we're finding is to be able to work with a company like Gilson, who have great expertise when it comes to the hardware, teaming with us, who have very good application knowledge and experience, that we can offer customers not just the technology, but also an improved experience with the application. Because for customers who are very busy in the lab, they don't always have time to change the method. And we have and are still developing plug-and-play methods that a customer can add to their Gilson system and continue to use immunoaffinity columns from our biofarm.
Well, thank you, Liz, for coming in today and sort of providing a very brief overview on what there is in terms of automation and what we can do to support customers.
You're very welcome.
And thank you. It's now the end of another Rhone InfoBytes podcast.